All right, so welcome to another deep dive.
Yes.
You ready to jump in?
Let's do it.
Okay, so today
Yeah.
we are headed back to ancient Judah.
Okay.
And specifically, we're going to be looking at
Right.
the book of Isaiah, chapters 30 through 32.
Very cool.
Now think like political turmoil,
Oh, yeah.
tough choices, and just this timeless wisdom that I think you'll be surprised by how much it applies to our lives today.
Interesting.
So our guide for this journey
Okay.
is a lecture transcript
All right.
by a biblical scholar named Robert Van Noy.
Oh, okay, great.
Now, have you ever felt like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place,
Oh, all the time.
having to choose like the lesser of two evils?
Yeah, I mean, who hasn't?
Yeah, well, that's exactly the predicament that Judah was in
Really?
back in the 8th century BC. So
Interesting.
imagine your country is caught between two superpowers,
Okay.
Assyria and Egypt,
All right.
and you have to choose a side.
Oh.
Not an easy decision.
Yeah, not at all.
And that tension is what really sets the stage
Oh, okay.
for Isaiah's message.
I see.
And speaking of high stakes, Van Noy points out this event in 2 Kings chapter 19,
Right.
where an Ethiopian king who's allied with Egypt tries to actually take on Assyria. So you
Wow.
can see, like, Judah's leaders,
Yeah.
they're in this real bind
Yeah.
trying to figure out who to side with, knowing
Right.
that it could literally make or break their kingdom.
It's a tough spot to be in for sure.
So with all of that going on,
Yeah.
Isaiah, he doesn't really mince words when it comes to Judah's reliance on Egypt
Oh, really?
for help.
Huh.
In fact, he delivers this really scathing rebuke in chapter 30, verses 1 through 7,
All right.
calling out their misguided trust. And he even uses this phrase, get this,
Okay.
Rahab the do-nothing, to describe Egypt.
Rahab the do-nothing. I love that.
What a nickname, right?
It's pretty kitschy.
So what's the story behind that? What is that about?
Well, there's a fascinating debate, actually, among scholars about the exact meaning of Rahab in this context. Some translations focus on its
Yeah.
connection to arrogance,
Okay.
while others highlight its
Got it.
association with a mythical sea monster.
Oh, okay. So we've got like arrogance, we've got sea monsters.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sensing a theme here of appearances being deceiving.
You're picking up on exactly what Isaiah is getting at.
Interesting.
So, for example, the King James Version says,
Okay.
their strength is to sit still.
So it's emphasizing Egypt's inaction.
Exactly.
Okay.
Whereas the NIV goes with that
Oh.
Rahab the do-nothing
All
translation.
right. Well, another scholar
Yeah.
that Vinoy mentioned,
Okay.
E.J. Young, he suggests that Rahab is meant to convey a
Okay.
sense of false strength,
Interesting.
that Egypt might look intimidating
Yeah.
on the surface,
Right.
but Isaiah's warning that relying on them
Yeah.
is basically like leaning on a craft wall.
Oh, I see. Like it's not going to hold up.
Yeah, it's like those times you put all your faith
Right.
in something or someone,
Yeah.
thinking it's going to be your savior,
Exactly.
only to find out it was all smoke and mirrors.
It happens to the best of us.
So scholars might debate,
Yeah.
the precise translation,
Right.
but the core message, I think, is pretty clear.
What's that?
Don't be fooled by appearances.
Right.
And that's a warning that I
Yeah.
think really resonates even today.
Absolutely. I mean, how often do we fall
Yeah.
into that trap of
Right.
putting our trust in the wrong things?
Exactly. Whether it's, a
Yeah.
political system, a financial investment,
Right.
or even like a relationship,
Yeah, for sure.
we're constantly making these judgments
Yeah.
about where to place our trust.
That's so true.
And that's precisely why I think Isaiah's message is so
Yeah.
timely. He's challenging us to look beyond the surface,
Right.
to examine our dependencies carefully, and ask
Oh,
ourselves,
really?
are we placing our trust in Rahab's?
Ooh, those things that promise security,
Right.
but ultimately just can't deliver.
I mean, we've all been there, right?
Oh, yeah.
And sadly, in Judah's case, the consequences of their misplaced trust are about to get
Uh-oh.
a lot more serious.
Oh, yeah.
Because Isaiah doesn't really sugarcoat
Right.
the consequences of their disobedience.
Okay, so we've seen how trusting in the wrong things can kind of backfire. And it
Yes.
sounds like that's just the beginning of Judah's troubles. So
Yeah.
what does Isaiah actually predict is going to happen to them?
Well, in chapter 30, verses 8 through 17,
Okay.
he delivers this really chilling prophecy of destruction,
Oh, wow.
likely at the hands of the Assyrians,
Oh, the very ones they were trying to avoid.
that they were trying to avoid.
Oh, man.
And the imagery he uses is
Yeah.
vivid and unsettling.
What does he say?
Well, he talks about a wall collapsing,
Wow.
pottery shattering,
Oh,
people
wow.
just running in terror.
It's like you can hear the walls crumbling and feel the ground shaking beneath their feet.
Yes, it's a scene of just utter chaos and devastation.
Wrong.
A society just crumbling under the weight of its own bad decisions.
Right. It's a stark reminder that our choices have consequences.
It makes you wonder if Judah's leaders ever regretted their gamble, you know?
Yeah.
Putting their faith in Egypt instead of maybe having a little more faith and listening to Isaiah's warnings.
Yeah, yeah.
But is there any glimmer of hope amidst all this destruction?
Yes, thankfully there is.
Okay.
Even amidst this bleak picture, Isaiah offers a flicker of hope.
Okay.
So verse 17 says that. Even though Judah will be decimated, some will survive.
Okay.
Like a lone flagstaff on a mountaintop.
Wow. That image of the flagstaff is so powerful.
It is.
You know, it's a symbol of hope standing tall amidst the ruins.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder who those survivors will be.
Right.
And what kind of future awaits them.
Yeah. What'll happen next?
That's a question that we'll explore as we continue our deep dive into Isaiah.
Awesome.
But it's clear that destruction is coming.
Right.
But it's also clear that Isaiah sees a path toward restoration and renewal.
That's encouraging.
So we'll get there.
Let's do it.
Okay. So we left off with Judah facing some pretty dire consequences for their, you know, bad decisions.
Right.
But there was that glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
In that image of the lone flagstaff.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get to that,
okay,
there's this whole other thread in Isaiah.
Oh, really?
About these complacent women of Jerusalem.
Interesting.
It definitely caught my attention.
Yeah, I think it connects directly to that idea of misplaced trust that we were talking about.
Right.
You know, remember how Isaiah called out Judah's leaders for relying on Egypt?
Yeah.
Well, here in chapter 32, he turns his attention to these women who seem equally oblivious to the impending danger.
So are these women just fashion victims, or is Isaiah getting at something deeper here?
Well, if we look back at chapter 3, we get a clearer picture. Isaiah describes them as haughty, decked out in their finery, flaunting their wealth and status.
Okay.
They're so focused on appearances that they've completely lost sight of what truly matters.
Okay, so maybe not just fashion victims.
Right.
It's more like they're completely detached from reality.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes Isaiah's message so relevant.
Okay,
he's not just condemning these women,
right?
But he's holding up a mirror to all of us.
Mm, okay.
You know, he's asking us to examine our own lives and ask, are we so consumed with appearances, with comfort, with our own little bubbles, that we're failing to see the bigger picture?
So it's not just about like what you wear or how much money you have.
Right.
It's about a deeper kind of complacency.
Exactly.
A spiritual blindness that prevents us from seeing the world as it really is.
Yes. And the potential consequences of our actions.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because in some ways we haven't come that far from ancient Jerusalem.
Really?
I mean, we live in a culture obsessed with image.
Yeah.
Status, instant gratification.
That's true.
It's like we're constantly being bombarded with messages that tell us we need more, more, more.
Mm.
And it's so easy to get swept up in that.
Right.
And to lose sight of what truly matters.
And that's precisely why we need to cultivate those seeing eyes and understanding ears.
Oh, right. He mentions that.
Yeah.
In verse 3, doesn't he?
He does.
Tell me more about that.
Well, Isaiah describes a transformation that occurs when we truly know God.
Okay.
It's a shift in perception, a clarity of vision that allows us to see beyond the superficial.
Okay.
To discern truth from falsehood and to make choices that are rooted in wisdom and righteousness.
So it's like we're suddenly able to see the world in high definition.
Exactly.
We're no longer fooled by like the flashy distractions or the empty promises.
Yeah, we can see the truth for what it is.
And this transformation is essential if we want to avoid the fate of those complacent women and choose a different path.
Yes, a path that leads to true security and lasting fulfillment.
Because as Isaiah makes clear, there's a stark contrast between those who choose complacency and those who pursue righteousness.
Right. He uses the terms fools and nobles to describe this division.
Okay. So I'm guessing the fools are those who are stuck in that cycle of complacency.
Exactly.
But what makes someone a noble in Isaiah's view?
Well, in verses 5 through 8.
Okay.
Isaiah describes the fools as those who are self-serving, who spread lies, who disregard justice and righteousness.
Okay.
The nobles, on the other hand, are characterized by their integrity, their compassion, their commitment to doing what's right, even when it's difficult.
So it's not just about seeing the truth.
Right.
It's about acting on it.
Yes, exactly.
Making choices that reflect those deeper values of justice and righteousness.
And that's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
It's easy to talk about having seeing eyes,
mm-hmm.
but are we willing to live out what we see?
Right.
Are we willing to be the nobles in our own time and place?
Yeah.
Even when it means going against the grain.
Right.
Even when it means challenging the status quo.
It makes you wonder how those complacent women reacted to Isaiah's message.
Right.
Did they wake up and change their ways, or did they just dismiss him as a crazy old prophet?
That's a question we'll explore.
Yeah.
As we delve into the final part of chapter 32.
Okay.
But before we do that.
Yeah.
I think it's important to highlight the connection between this idea of the nobles.
Okay.
And that image of the flagstaff that we discussed earlier.
You mean the lone survivor amidst the destruction?
Exactly.
I'm intrigued. How do those two connect?
I think Isaiah is suggesting that those who survive the coming judgment.
Okay.
Those who become the flagstaff of hope
mm-hmm.
will be those who have embraced the path of the noble.
Okay.
They will be those who have cultivated discernment.
Okay.
Who have chosen righteousness.
Yeah.
And who have remained faithful even in the face of adversity.
So it's like that image of the flagstaff is not just about physical survival.
Right.
It's about spiritual resilience.
It's about those who, through their faith and their actions, become beacons of hope
mm-hmm.
in a world that desperately needs it. All right, so we've been exploring Isaiah's message
yeah.
about misplaced trust, the importance of developing those seeing eyes and understanding ears.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like he's not quite finished
with
those complacent women just yet.
What happens to them?
What happens to them? Well, in verses 9 through 14 of chapter 32,
okay.
Isaiah doesn't hold back.
Oh, no.
He paints this really stark picture of their fate. And it's not pretty.
What does he say?
Abandoned fortresses.
Oh, wow.
Deserted cities.
Okay.
Thorns and briars, just overgrowing what were once fertile fields.
So it's like nature is reclaiming what was once a thriving civilization.
Almost like a post-apocalyptic scene
right.
where everything's gone to seed.
Yeah, but why is Isaiah so focused on these women?
I think it goes back to that idea of complacency kind of blinding us to danger. Remember, these women represent that segment of society that's, comfortable, privileged,
right.
perhaps even a bit entitled.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
They become so accustomed to their way of life
right.
that they've lost the ability to see the storm clouds gathering on the horizon.
I see.
It's like they're living in this bubble, completely detached from the harsh realities
yeah.
facing their nation.
So Isaiah's trying to shake them out of their apathy.
Yes.
To make them see the consequences
yes.
of their inaction.
He's saying, wake up.
Wow.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
The world around you is changing.
Right.
And if you don't adapt, you'll be swept away.
And does he give them any advice on what to do?
He tells them to tremble.
Oh, wow.
Shudder.
Okay.
Trade their fancy clothes for sackcloth.
Wow. So like a symbol of mourning and repentance.
It's a powerful image.
Yes.
And it makes you wonder, are there any modern day parallels
yeah.
to these complacent women?
Right.
Are there groups or segments of society today
mm-hmm.
that might be similarly blind to the challenges that we face?
That's a great question to ponder.
I think Isaiah's message challenges us to kind of look around and ask ourselves,
right.
who are the complacent in our time?
Yeah.
Who are those clinging to the status quo?
Yeah.
Even as the world around them is shifting.
It makes me think about those who are resistant to change, even when change is necessary for progress,
for justice,
for the well-being of our planet.
It's like a wake-up call, urging us to be more aware,
right?
More engaged,
yeah,
more proactive in shaping a better future.
And I think that's what makes Isaiah's message so enduring.
Mm.
He's not just speaking to ancient Judah.
Yep.
He's speaking to the human heart in every age.
It's so true.
Reminding us that complacency is a dangerous trap.
Yes.
And that true security comes not from clinging to the familiar, but from embracing that transformative power
yes.
of faith and action.
So as we wrap up this deep dive
okay.
into Isaiah chapters 30 to 32, what are some of the key takeaways?
Yeah, what can we learn from all this?
I think it's crucial to remember that we all face Rahabs
Mm-mm.
in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
Those seductive illusions
right.
of security and satisfaction that can lead us astray.
Like what kinds of things?
Whether it's a political ideology,
okay.
a consumerist mindset,
mm-hmm.
or even an unhealthy relationship.
Mm, right.
We need to be vigilant
yeah.
about where we place our trust.
So true. And it's not enough to just see the Rahabs.
Right.
We need to cultivate those seeing eyes.
Yeah,
just... and understanding ears that Isaiah talks about. Mm-hmm. You know, develop discernment so that we can make wise choices.
Yes.
And act with courage and integrity.
I love that. And finally, I think Isaiah's message reminds us that we have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
We can choose to be the complacent, you know,
right,
those who are content to drift along with the current.
Yeah.
Or we can choose to be the noble.
Okay.
Those who stand up for what's right.
Yes.
Who work for justice.
Yeah.
Who bring light and hope into the world.
That's a great point.
So as we go back to our own lives mm-hmm. after this deep dive,
mm-hmm.
I think the challenge is to ask ourselves.
Okay.
What are the Rahabs I need to be aware of?
Right.
What are the areas where I need to develop greater discernment?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I embody the qualities of the noble
yeah.
to be a force for good in my own corner of the world?
Those are powerful questions to ponder.
They are.
And as you wrestle with them, I believe you'll find yourself embarking on a journey of transformation and growth,
mm-hmm.
a journey that leads to greater awareness, deeper purpose, and a more meaningful life.
This has been a really thought-provoking deep dive.
It has.
It's amazing how these ancient words still speak so powerfully to our modern lives.
Yeah, it's a testament to the timeless wisdom of the scriptures.
Yes.
And the enduring relevance of Isaiah's prophetic voice.
Well, thank you so much for guiding us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Through these challenging and inspiring chapters.
It's my pleasure.
And to all our listeners out there.
Yes.
Keep diving deep, keep asking questions, and keep seeking truth.
Love that.
Until next time.